Good to everyone out this morning. If you're following along, we'll be in the book of Romans, chapter 1, verse 16. Is specifically where we'll be at. You know, a lady was hitting one of her local garage sales one Saturday, and she came across an old needlepoint picture that read, "Prayer Changes Life." She bought it, she took it home, began to look for just the right place to hang her new picture. Finally, she decides that it would go well over the dining room table. With great pride, she admired her garage sale discovery and could hardly wait to show it to her husband. That evening, when he arrived home from work, she showed him the picture, but he made no indication one way or the other whether he disliked it or not. The next day, the lady was cleaning the house. She discovered that her new picture was gone. And she continued to clean the house. She discovered that the picture was stuck behind a bookcase. She thought that strange and hung the picture back in its original position. The next day, she, to her dismay, discovered that the picture was gone again, and there it was, right back behind the bookcase again. When the husband got home, she confronts her husband and asks if he's displeased with the needlepoint or the art, to which he responds, "No, not at all. It's a great work of art." She continues, "Is this the place? Do you like it in that place it's hung?" He says, "No, not at all. I think it's a great location." She concludes that it must be the message and asks him if it's the message on it that he doesn't like. He says, "No, not at all. The message is great." Finally, she says, "What's the problem?" He says, "I just don't like change." You know, this story reveals more about the truth about who we are today than we might be willing to admit sometimes. But in reality, you cannot become or be a Christian without changing your life. From the moment we accept Christ, we begin a process of change. We become new creatures in Christ. The good news is, it is Christ that gives us the ability to change. We are His workmanship, His creation. He created us for this great purpose. Today we're going to look at a few words that might change your life. In our text this morning in Romans Romans 1:16, "For I'm not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God for salvation to everyone who believes, to the Jew first, and also for the Greek." Today, we'll look at these words. Did you see the words that he was talking about in this verse? They are, "I am not ashamed of the gospel." Those are the words that can change your life today and make it different than it was yesterday. First of all, we need to consider the time in which this passage was written. Rome was in power. Of course, the great Roman Empire that was filled with pride that went from Britain on down to, you know, the Near East. They had been in power for over 200 years. Now, a little over 200 years might sound familiar to us today, or like another nation we might know. Pride came from what every person had or the social status that they held in life. This pride was prevalent throughout the empire. Even the Pharisees of Jesus and Paul's day had a type of pride. We read in Matthew 23:1-7, what kind of pride they had at that time. In Matthew 23, starting with verse 1, "Then Jesus spoke to the multitude and to his disciples, saying, the scribes and the Pharisees have seated themselves in the chair of Moses. Therefore, all that they tell you, do and observe, but do not do according to their deeds. For they say things and do not do them. And they tie up heavy loads and lay them on men's shoulders, but they themselves unwilling to move them with so much as a finger. But they do all their deeds to be noticed by men, for they broaden their flesh and lengthen their tassels of their garments. and they loved the place of honor at banquets and the chief seats in the synagogues, and respectful greetings in the marketplaces, and being called by men rabbi. You can see that kind of pride that they had back then that Jesus was talking about. And in this ancient world full of pride and different things they had, Paul stood up and said, I am not ashamed of the gospel. Now, to make a little language lesson here of the ancient grammar, in both Hebrew and Greek, many times a person will emphasize their statement by stating the opposite in the negative. For example, several of the Ten Commandments are stated, you shall not. The reason for that is that it emphasizes the desired opposite reaction. If you shall not do something, what he's emphasizing is you shall do that opposite action. You shall not bear false witness against your neighbor. Literally means you shall have great respect for your neighbor. Or you shall love your neighbor so much that you would never say anything bad about that person. Jesus says in the model prayer, and lead us not into temptation. Literally, he's saying, lead us in such righteousness that we never feel or come across temptation in our lives. It emphasizes the desired opposite reaction. The same is true for our text. When Paul says, I'm not ashamed of the gospel, what he's saying is, he's proud of the gospel. And today, we're not only not ashamed of the gospel, but we're proud of the gospel and the message and the power it has to save people. No one in Rome with pride would ever consider following the teachings of some Jewish carpenter or hand worker. Paul is not proud of anything having to do with his own abilities or his own self. He takes great pride in Christ's ability to save us. Now, we know we're not supposed to be prideful of the things we have and that sort of thing. But we can take pride in the gospel. We can take pride in Jesus, that he loved us enough to save us. Now, Paul's background, consider what Paul had been through. He had been in prison in Philippi, chased out of Thessalonica, smuggled out of Beroea, laughed at Athens, and in Corinth his message was considered foolishness to the Greeks and a stumbling block to the Jews. But Paul stands firm in his commitment, steady in his faith, that I am not ashamed of the gospel. Now, you know, Rudyard Kipling, everyone knows Gunga Din and Rikki Tikki Tavi and some of the other stories that this British guy had wrote. And one of his sayings was, if you can keep your head while all those around you are losing theirs, it's a great thing. If you can stand strong in the gospel when everyone else is mocking you, making fun of you, telling you you're foolish, telling you that you're wasting your time this morning, telling you that you're wasting your money giving to the church, telling you that spending time in prayer might make you feel a little better, but there's nobody up there that's going to hear you and anything like that. If it gives you a little comfort, go ahead and do it. But it becomes to nothing. If you can still take pride in the gospel, if you can still hold Jesus up to those around you, if you can still walk in the light, and ignore those voices, those naysayers. That is what Paul is talking about here today. That changes your life when you can do that. Can we echo those words today? Can we say that and shout it out on a street corner someplace that we're not ashamed of Christ? We don't shrink away. We steady in our Christianity. That when those around us are roughly talking and worldly talking, you know, however you want to put it, that we still maintain our Christianity, that we don't act like one of the crowd, but that we maintain that air of Christianity about us. Not of arrogance, but a simple Christian. A simple Christian who has pride in his message that he has, that he holds in his heart and wants to share with others. At school, work, or play, do you proclaim the fact that you've made a commitment to Jesus? Or is that something we keep under wraps and no one knows about? And no one would ever think that they might see us in church someday. Do the people closest to you know that you take a stand for Jesus? Or are you keeping that top secret from them? Folks, these seven words can change your life. Not just saying them, but living them like Paul. I am not ashamed of the gospel. Why was Paul not ashamed of the gospel? Gospel literally means, in Greek, good news. And what's good news? The good news is that there's salvation. That the mistakes we've made in our past, that the sins and the things we do in the past, the things we regret, the things that we're ashamed of, all get washed away when we enter in to that covenant relationship with Christ. When we experience that death, burial, and resurrection of baptism with Him to rise up that new creature. When we stand there, all the problems and mistakes of the past are gone. Oh, they still exist in somebody's memory, and somebody might be fond of reminding you of that. But God doesn't remember it. When the page of life is opened up and it's your page and there's the blood of Christ on there, your sins are not there to be seen. They're gone. They're wiped away. And the gospel is the force behind salvation. For it's the power of God to save us. You know, power. In Greek is dunamis or dynamite, as we might translate it today. It's a force. It has power. I've seen, and you've probably heard of people who resisted the gospel all their lives, but somehow, some way, they reached in and just turned them into the greatest person that we could ever know. That roughhousing, mean fella or a woman who never did a good thing for anything in their life got reached by the right person. And just that gospel changed their lives, turned them around, and made them into a God-fearing person. You know, we think an explosion like a building implosion or a quarry mine, where it just blasts up, and we see all that power that it would have taken men with picks and axes a long time ago to bust apart and take apart. But that's the power of the gospel. It is a dynamic force, if we'll let it be there. You know, that's why Paul said, I'm glad I just preached the gospel. Look how many converts Paul had. With just a simple message of Christ and His forgiveness of sins. Nothing special, nothing fancy. Just that plain old gospel. There's the power to be saved from ourselves in the gospel. There's the power to have sin removed from us. There's power to escape the wrath of God, as in Romans 5:9. To escape what comes for those who don't love God, who don't want to follow Him. This is the reason Paul could say, I am not ashamed of the gospel. Because he heralded the good news and salvation. Salvation to everyone who believes, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. This is a true story of something that happened just a few years ago at USC. There was a professor of philosophy who was a deeply committed atheist. His primary goal for one required class was to spend the entire semester attempting to prove that God couldn't exist. His students were always afraid to argue with him because of his impeccable logic. For 20 years he had taught this class, and no one had ever had the courage to go against him. Sure, some had argued in class at times, but no one had ever really gone after him and challenged him on his beliefs. Nobody would go against him because he had the reputation that at the end of the semester, on the last day, he would say to a class of 300 students, if there's anyone who still believes in God, stand up. In 20 years, no one had ever stood up to this professor. They knew what he was going to do next. He would say, anyone who does not believe in God is a fool. Anyone who does believe in God is a fool. If God exists, he could stop this piece of chalk from hitting the ground and breaking. Such a simple task to prove that he is God, and yet he can't do it. And every year he would drop the chalk onto the floor of the classroom and it would shatter into 100 pieces on the floor. All the students could do nothing but stop and stare. Most of the students were convinced that God couldn't exist. Certainly a number of Christians had slipped through, but for 20 years they had been too afraid to stand up to this man. Well, a few years ago, there was a freshman who who happened to get enrolled in this class. He was a Christian and had heard the stories about the professor. He had to take the class because it was one of his required classes for his major, and he was afraid. But for 3 months that semester, he prayed every morning that he would have the courage to stand up, no matter what the professor said or what the class thought. Nothing they said or did could ever shatter his faith, he hoped. Finally, on that day, the day came, the professor said, "Is anyone here who still believes in God? Stand up." The professor and the class of 300 people looked at him with a shocked look as he stood up at the back of the classroom. The professor shouted to him, "You fool! If God existed, he could keep this piece of chalk from breaking when it hit the ground." He proceeded to drop the chalk, but as he did, it slipped out of his fingers, off his shirt cuff, onto the pleat in his pants, down his leg, and off his shoe. As it hit the ground, it simply rolled away, unbroken. The professor's jaw dropped as he stared at his chalk. He looked up at the young man and then ran out of the lecture hall. The young man who had stood up proceeded to walk to the front of the room and share his faith in Jesus for the next half hour. 300 students stayed and listened as he told of God's love for them and the power through Jesus. Now, some of you might be thinking, well, this is just a coincidence. The next Christian who challenges the professor might not be so lucky. I guess it's like the man named Ralph Hodgson who said some things have to be believed to be seen. Faith is what will always be faith, but pride is what we put our faith in, and it will shine the light in a world of scoffers and non-believers out there. They see the physical activities we go through without seeing the spiritual ones inside of our hearts. You know, a plane full of retirees headed for Florida were gripped with fear when the pilot announced, "Two of our engines are on fire." We were flying through a heavy fog, and it had eliminated virtually all of our visibility. The passengers were numb with fear, except for one, a semi-retired minister. Now, keep calm, folks," he said. "Let's all bow our heads and pray." Immediately, the group bowed their heads to pray, except a fellow near the back. He said, "Why aren't you bowing your heads to pray?" "Well, I don't know how to pray," replied the passenger. "Well, just do something religious," someone said. So the man got up, went down the aisle, and started passing his hat around. You know, people only see the things we do in church. You know, they see we're going to sing some songs, we're going to say some prayers, we're going to have the Lord's Supper, someone's going to get up here and preach, someone's going to, you know, pray, and someone's going to tell us we can go home, and whew, it's finally over with for the day. It's how some people look at it. But they don't see the deep spiritualness of it. They don't see past the gospel. They don't see past obedience to that gospel, to see the deeper spiritual meanings that are there. Friends, this morning, as we look around this world, the gospel still has the power to save this world if people want to listen to it. If people want to proclaim it, if people want to live it in their lives, the gospel has the power to save. We don't need a different message. You know, different illustration might be good to help illustrate things. But the message is still the same. It's still the gospel. It's still the power to save. It saved us. You know, God's been working on us for a while. But it's still in time. It saves us. And it can save others. Don't let yourself get caught up in the motions we go through each Lord's Day and not be conscious of the deeper meaning that causes us to repeat them week after week. It may seem monotonous if you're just looking at the activities, but when you have a deep commitment and spirituality with God, they mean so much to you. That's what causes us to fill up with pride over the salvation. I'm proud to be a Christian. I'm not ashamed of the gospel. I hope that you can say it's the same in your life, and that each and everywhere we go, that people look at us and say, they must be a Christian, or they're religious, you know, something to that effect. Because they don't participate in the things that the world do. They don't laugh at the ugly things that people do to each other today or participate in it. I'm not ashamed of the gospel. Those seven words will change your life like you can't believe. Not just saying them, but living them out, just like that freshman in college did. We are people of pride, but not in ourselves, but in the gospel and its ability to save us, the gospel of salvation. I don't know what your need is this morning and what your condition may be, but if you have need of the church, won't you come as we stand and sing the song of invitation?